Now, let me preface what I'm going to say with this disclaimer. This is not an indictment of Crooked Creek. It is not an indictment at all of us here. As you'll see what I'm going to speak about, I don't think that was Paul's intention here in this passage of Scripture to be demeaning to the Church of Thessalonica. That's my goal too. I want to be an encouragement, but I want to also exhort us in this matter of brotherly love. I've been in church pretty much all of my life, from the time that I was born, even in my mother's womb. If the doors were open in the church, if the lights were on, my family was there, and I thank God for that. But having said that, in all my time in church, I have never witnessed the type of love that we have here at Crooked Creek. I remember coming in the doors back here on that Wednesday night here almost 4 years ago, I guess. We came in, and it was obvious that y'all cared for one another, that this church had a love for the brethren like I had never seen before. And it was obvious. You know, you could see people milling around, talking to each other, sharing prayer requests, praying for each other. That type of thing was just a constant going on, or constantly happening. So I've never seen a church that loves like Crooked Creek, and I want to encourage you in that area tonight. So before Pastor even asked me to say a few words, this text here had been on my heart. And so when Pastor gave me this opportunity, I knew exactly where the Lord would have me to go tonight regarding what happened to the Baughman Sunday. You know, I don't think that many of us got a lot of sleep Sunday night. I think that would, across the board, we all grieve for them. I know I did. I tossed and turned for hours on into Monday morning, thinking about Dan and Edie and the situation that they were facing and the things that were going on there. And I think that everyone here can say the same thing. We didn't get a whole lot of sleep because we love them. We're concerned about them. I don't think there's anybody in the church that loves this place more than Dan and Edie. As much, maybe, but not anymore. Brother Dan devotes himself to this place, and we love them for that. A lot of you don't get to see this, but he's here at all hours of the day and even sometimes into the night, changing light bulbs, doing anything. I mean, if there's anything to do around the church, Brother Dan's going to be there to do it. You know, painting, patching walls, hanging pictures, whatever. He's there. And Edie is usually right there with him. Edie's usually sitting in a chair somewhere close by and telling him how to do it. But, you know, that's the way that wives are. But tonight I want to be an encouragement, and I want us to maybe think about ways that we can help them. That's a lot. Sunday night into Monday morning, that's a lot of the things that went through my mind. How can I help them? How can I love them? How can I show them that love? And I want to look at that in relation to this text here. Paul said about the church at Thessalonica, and the same, again, could be said about here at Crooked Creek. Verse number 9, let's read that. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Verse number 10, right there at the last part, is what I want to kind of focus on for a couple of minutes. Paul said, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And I want to pull that phrase out for just a second. More and more. Increase in your love more and more. I think it's safe to say, for the most part, we all want more out of life. We all want more and more from life. That can be a good thing at times, and it can also be a bad thing. It's good to be happy where we are. It's good to be content. The Bible tells us in numerous places that we are to be content. Philippians chapter number 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. 1 Timothy 6 tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. But there are certain situations where we need to be content. The desire to want more and more out of life, if it leads us in a direction that makes us unhappy or discontented, it's a bad thing. If it leads us to desire things that are not according to Scripture, not things that God wants us to have, those are times when we should not want more and more. But there are also times when we do need to want more and more, and the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and knowledge. That word grow there means to want more, to not be content with where you are. You want to grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Romans chapter number 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed. Be changed. So there are times in our lives when we need to want more and more. It's not always a bad thing, especially when it comes to things of a spiritual nature. Now, this desire to grow is something that God has placed in each one of us. And you can think about a little baby. When they were just a few months old, you'd lay them on the floor, and what would they want to do automatically? They would want to start crawling, wouldn't they? They're not happy. They're not content sitting there. They want to start crawling. Once they start crawling good, they're not content with that. They want to grow a little more. They want to start pulling themselves up. Then they want to start walking. Then they want to start running. They're continually not happy with the condition that they're in or where they're at. And we all remember being a kid. I remember when I was 10 or 12 years old, I wanted to be 13. When I was 13, I wanted to be 15. When I was 15, I wanted to be 16. When I was 16, I wanted to be 18. I was continually wanting more and more. And I think that's a natural thing that God has put within us. Now, the Christians here at Thessalonica, they were a great bunch of believers. Listen to some of the things that Paul said about them. In chapter number 1, he said of them that ye are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that you need not speak anything. Chapter number 2, he said that ye are our glory and joy. Chapter number 3, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for you, for Christ's, for your sakes before our God. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that these Thessalonican Christians were some pretty good people. I think as far as their Christianity, they were solid. They were doing pretty good. Even Paul the Apostle said so, and I think that's a pretty good commendation if Paul says that you're doing all right. They seem to really have this Christianity thing together, and I think it's safe to say that they were doing okay in their Christian life. But, as we read in the text, Paul encouraged them not to be content. Don't get complacent. Don't get content with where you're at. Don't be happy with where you are. He wanted them to increase more and more and more in their love for the brethren. And I think that the same could be said about here at Crooked Creek. You know, I think we're doing good. I want to encourage you in that way, but we don't need to be complacent. We need to continue to grow more and more in our love, as Paul was exhorting these Thessalonian Christians to do. Now, I want to notice two quick things, and I'll be done here, about brotherly love. Notice that in verse number 9, that this was a growing love. It was a developing love. Paul said, ye yourselves are taught. Notice that word taught. It kind of gives us the idea that you don't know everything, all right? I don't know about you, but when I was in kindergarten, they did not automatically start teaching me calculus in kindergarten, all right? They didn't start throwing all those fancy words, algorithms and convergence and all that stuff. You didn't learn that in kindergarten. No, you started out with 1 plus 1, and then you went to 1 plus 2. And then when you got that down, you went to 1 plus 3. And then for me, 5 or 6 years later, we were at, the, you know, 3 plus 3. But it was a process. It was a process of growth that we go through. And it's the same here when we're thinking about this love. This brotherly love is something that we all don't have. We're not mature in. We never will be. It'll be something that we'll be learning, or we should be learning, until the day we die. This also, the second point that I want to point out here, is that it is a supernatural love. Notice in the last part of verse number 9, Paul said, you yourselves are taught of God. It's a supernatural thing. It's not something that we can create. It's not something that we can develop on our own. This is from God. This type of love is something that's divine. I remember vividly, I was saved on May 5th of 1995. And I remember how it was on a Friday night, and I remember how that I wanted so desperately, I could not wait to get to church that next Sunday morning. Because God had put something in me to love the brethren. I mean, all Saturday, that's all I could look forward to was getting to church, to getting to be with the people. And that was not something, if you'd have asked me on May the 4th what I wanted to do, if I wanted to go out and hang out with my ungodly friends or go to church in a heartbeat, I would have told you I'm going to go hang out with my friends. I did not have that brotherly love that Paul is talking about here. So it's something that's supernatural. At salvation, God gives us that desire to be with the brethren. It's something that we enjoy to do. And I remember I was single at the time, and I would do some crazy things. I would take off work, and I would travel sometimes for hours using my vacation leave to go to camp meetings and that type thing because I wanted to be with the brethren. I had that deep desire in my heart. So this gift that we've got, this brotherly love, is something that is from God. It is of God, as Paul says. And if we are going to increase more and more and more in this love, it can only be done through His power, through His grace, through His goodness. That is the only way that we're going to continue to develop and increase this love more and more. Now, again, I'm convinced that we have this love here. There's no doubt in my mind that Crooked Creek knows how to love. I've seen it with my own two eyes. But as touching brotherly love, we could say the same thing about Crooked Creek. As touching brotherly love, you have not need that I have that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I don't need to say anything to you, church. You've got that part down. However, we need to let me encourage you. And especially myself, because I struggle in this area, we need to continue to grow in that love, to grow in the love that Paul talks about here. So I want to bring this to a close real quick and apply this to where we are right here, right now in this church at this moment here at Crooked Creek. We've got some brothers and sisters that need our love, Brother Dan and Edie specifically. We need to, over the next few weeks, over the next few months, show them that love and pray that God will show us how we can show them love. We've got other families in the church, the Tate family. You know, I thought about them earlier. A lot of physical issues that Tim's going through and a lot of difficulties there. So many other people in the church are hurting, and I don't want to minimize that. I don't want to overlook that. We've got a lot of opportunities to show a lot of people some love, and we need to, I encourage you, exhort you to look for ways to do that. Now, what does that look like in your life? I don't know. It may be a phone call. It may be a text. It may be a card or something that you write. Maybe a hug for Miss Edie. It may be monetary. A thousand different ways God could use us to show them love, but let me encourage you, so please do that. I've been praying about that. Noel and I were talking a little bit earlier about some things that we may be able to do. Let's do that. Let's develop our love over these next few months, as the scripture says, and increase that love more and more.